जय यशोधनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यशोधनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे हरे जय राधा माधव राधा माधव राधे जय पंचतत्व जय पंचतत्व पंचतत्व जय पंचतत्व प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्री श्रीमद् हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस सेवियर ऑफ द होल वर्ल्ड जगद्गुरु श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदा श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरिराज गोवर्धन की गंगमयी की यमुनमाई की भक्ति देवी की तुलसी महारानी की बृहत मृदंग की युग धर्म हरिनाम संकीर्तन की हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की श्रीमद्भागवत महापुराण की शील प्रभुपाद की All glories to the Asmal devotees, all glories to the Asmal devotees, all glories to the Asmal devotees, all glories to Sri Guru, Sri Gauranga, all glories to the Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् నష్టప్రాయశ భద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయ భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టి కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః. రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 7 చాప్టర్ 5 టెక్స్ట్ 42 to 46. Prahlad, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu. So 42 to 45 have no purports, but I'll quickly read the translation. Verse 42. My dear King Yudhishthira, when all the attempts of the demons to kill Prahlad Maharaj were futile, the king of the demons, Hiranyakashipu, being most fearful, began contriving other means to kill him. Hiranyakashipu could not kill his son by throwing him beneath the feet of the big elephants, throwing him among huge, fearful snakes, employing destructive spells, hurling him from the top of a hill, conjuring up illusory tricks, administering poison, starving him, exposing him to severe cold, winds, fire and water, or throwing heavy stones to crush him. Then Hiranyakashipu found that he could not in any way harm Prahlad, who was completely sinless. He was in great anxiety about what to do next. Hiranyakashipu thought, I have used many ill names in chastising this boy, Prahlad, and have devised many means of killing him. But despite all my endeavors, he could not be killed. Indeed, he saved himself by his own powers, without being affected in the least by these treacheries and abominable actions. Verse 46. Vartamano vidure vai బాలోపి అజదధీర్చ్యం న విస్మరతి మే నార్యం శునక్షేప ఇవ ప్రభు. వర్తమానో విదూరే వై బాలోపి అజదధీరయం న విస్మరతి మే నార్యం శునక్షేప ఇవ ప్రభు. వర్తమానో విదూరే వై బాలోపి అజదధీరయం న విస్మరతి మే నార్యం శునక్షేప ఇవ ప్రభు. వర్తమానో విదూరే వై బాలోప్యజదాదీరయం న విస్మరతి నార్యం శునక్షేప ఇవ ప్రభు. వర్తమానో విదూరే వై బాలోప్యజదాదీరయం న విస్మరతి నార్యం శునక్షేప ఇవ ప్రభు. వర్తమానో విదూరే వై బాలోపి అజడధీరయం న విస్మరతి మే నార్యం శునక్షేప ఇవ ప్రభు. వర్తమానో విదూరే వై బాలోప్యజడధీరయం शुनश्चेपाइव प्रभु वर्तमाना being situated avidure not very far away vai indeed balaha a mere child api although ajaradi complete fearlessness I am this na not vishmarati forgets me my anaryam misbehavior shunashepaha the curved tail of a dog Eva exactly like prabhu being able or potent translation although he's very near to me and is merely a child he's situated in complete fearlessness he resembles a dog's curved tail which can never be straightened because he never forgets my misbehavior and his connections with his master lord vishnu purport of his divine grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Shri Prabhupada Shri Prabhupada ki jai The word shunaha means of a dog and shepa means tail The example is ordinary However one may try to strengthen a dog's tail It is never straight but always curved Shunashepa is also the name of the second son of Ajigarta He was sold to Harishchandra but he later took shelter of Vishwamitra Harishchandra's enemy and he never left his side Om Agyananta Vrindasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshumunmitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamah Dadati Svapadati Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Dvaita Gadadara Shivasri Gaura Bhakta Vrindala Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Gopala Krishna Goswami Iti Namini Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Jayapataka Swami Iti Namini Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Iti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshata Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare So although he is very near to me and is merely a child he is situated in complete fearlessness he resembles a dog's curved tail which can never be straightened because he never forgets my misbehavior and his connection with his master lord vishnu so we have Hiranyakashipu here who has a fantastic quality I'm saying fantastic for a reason he's got this particular quality and what is that his demoniac nature but what does that quality entail he's trying to control the physical laws of nature he's trying to manipulate the physical laws of nature and that is the definition of a demon who's a demon someone who tries to control or subjugate the physical laws of nature but let's remember there is one controller of the physical laws of nature and who's that Maya adhyakshena prakritim suyate sacharacharam what does krishna say maya adhyakshena under my supervision what happens prakritim suyate sacharacharam krishna says I am the controller of the entire physical laws of nature so the qualification of a demon is someone who tries to usurp this control from krishna and say I am the controller It's just take a simple example I remember in the Bhaktivedanta Institute where I was serving Rasaraj Prabhu gave this example that every living entity is bound or controlled by the physical laws of nature in various ways and try as we might we cannot go beyond a particular rule it's just impossible Just take your hand, for example. Very simple, right? You've got very nice bone structure. And there are certain movements that are possible because of the alignment of the bone, because of the angle of the bone, because of the structure. You can probably move your hand up and down, left and right. But if you ask me to move it, you know, in some contorted way, it's going to be very difficult unless maybe I practice and practice and practice for years, and I could probably bend it a little more than what nature would allow me to. But after that, I'd probably end up hearing a big snap and I'll be in the hospital for a few months. The laws of physical nature are very, very stringent. It allows you to do certain things. And it allows you to do certain things within these parameters, but beyond that, impossible. But the demoniac personalities, they think that this complete material energy is under my subjugation and I can do anything and bend it according to my rules and whims. But we see time and again, time and again, time and again in Shastra that they're never able to control the material energy. They're never able to control the material energy. So although Hiranyakashipu is a king, Narapati, Nareshwara, what does that mean? Nara. Nara means human beings. Pati means one who's the controller of human beings. Nareshwara, one who's the Ishwara of human beings. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that I subjugate everybody and control them the way I want to control them. It means these people have taken the shelter of me as a king. I am the representative of Krishna, therefore I serve them according to whatever physical rules of material energy are prevalent under the scrutiny of the Vedas, under Vedic culture. So this way the king imparts certain knowledge, therefore he is known as Nareshwara or Narapati, not that Hiranyakashipu becomes Nareshwara or Narapati. The qualities of a demon does not entail him to become Nareshwara or Narapati. Take Prithu Maharaj for example. There is a very beautiful verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam which states, when Prithu Maharaj became king, what happened? Although all the living entities, all the human beings specifically, were in a position to trample on his head, Prithu Maharaj simply accepted that just as the living entities would trample on Mother Earth and become very tolerant. And be very tolerant. That was Prithu Maharaj. He is Nareshwara. He is Narapati. So there Prabhupada gives the example of Mother Earth. The analogy is given because people are trampling on Earth. We see that. We are walking on Mother Earth. And it definitely hurts Mother Earth. But she is tolerant. She is very tolerant. For example, you have a bull and you have something to dig into the earth. What is that called? A plow, right? So when you use a bull and a plow and you dig into the earth, there is pain for Mother Earth because you are disturbing her soil. But at the same time, this plow and the bull, they're considered the womb of Mother Earth. Right? And because she wants to feed the living entities, therefore she tolerates this pain and this activity of digging her, and then she produces, she gives birth to grains, Annad Bhavanti Bhutani. She gives birth to grains so that she can feed the living entities, and so that the living entities can accept that, offer it to Krishna, accept it as prasadam, and then continue progressing in devotional service. But at the same time, you see how the demons manifest a particular kind of nature. Now they want to control the physical laws in such a way that they don't want to dig Mother Earth according to Vedic literature, according to Shastra. Now they want to dig Mother Earth to create large foundations, right? And then they want to lay cables. These veins of, you know, cables, they're attacking Mother Earth. It is so painful for her. Big, big skyscrapers means that deep foundations as well. So this is very demoniac in nature, and therefore Mother Earth reacts. The physical laws of nature react. You get big, big earthquakes, right? And then you get such physical turmoil that the living entities have to suffer again and again. But then these earthquakes are not just physical, they're also very subtle earthquakes. If you carefully analyze, there are subtle earthquakes in one's life. When demons take over and try to control the physical laws of nature, then they create a lot of upheaval and disturbance in the material world. Then they create all kinds of false propaganda, and then what happens? Then there are subtle issues, subtle pain. The living entities have to suffer subtle pain. It manifests in terms of big coups. For example, people will not pay taxes because the government is a cheating government. So people will stop paying taxes and they'll try to cheat the government somehow. Then the government will impose even more stringent rules and regulations and the people will suffer. And then there won't be enough money to, you know, build roads or build, you know, whatever they need to, have a big army, protect the country. So there'll be all kinds of upheavals. So this way, what happens? The ruler of the state, because he's not so pious, because he's got cheating mentality, even the praja, yatha raja, tatha praja. So they also derive this cheating mentality, and there is a lot of disturbance in the material energy. Then these politicians, or so-called politicians, they start shedding crocodile tears. You've heard of crocodile tears, haven't you? Now, a crocodile is an interesting animal. I remember speaking about this once. It's a very interesting animal. It's a reptile, actually. Now, when a crocodile has that, it's got a particular bone in its jaw. When it opens its mouth, it's very easy to open its mouth. It just opens its mouth. I was watching National Geographic, and there was this program about crocodiles, and then this is where they explained it. It can open its mouth so fast, split of a second, because it's got these powerful jaws. But for closing the mouth and clamping it shut, there's a problem with that bone, that mechanism. It gets stuck for a few seconds. So it remains open for those fleeting seconds, but once that mechanism operates and it snaps its jaw shut, it is so powerful, the force, that it's very difficult to escape. Like you see the Gajendra Moksha story, the pastime. So these crocodiles, when they open their mouth, a tiny gland gets activated. And what does that gland do? It makes tears come out of the crocodile. So these are called crocodile tears. The crocodile in reality is not sad. It has no feelings for you. It just looks at you and says, oh, food, come, and boom, it opens its mouth. And then the tears are coming. But these tears are not because, oh, that living entity is going to suffer. And I'm going to eat that, kill the living entity. And therefore I'm crying. No. These crocodile tears are false. And then it snaps the jaw shut. Then the politicians are linked to crocodiles. The rulers of Kali Yuga are linked. They are known as crocodiles. And they shed crocodile tears. There was a crocodile. It was standing under a tree, nice shady tree. And there was a goat passing by. My dear goat, why are you standing under this hot sun? Why don't you come under this wonderful shade? This is so cooling. Please come. I'm inviting you here. Out of all my compassion, and out of all my love to you, please come. This is what the politicians or the praja of today are doing. Sorry, the raja of today are doing. And the praja, what do? They think, oh, what a compassionate crocodile. And the goat goes there, thinking, this crocodile is so wonderful and kind. And this crocodile is calling me under the shade. I'm going to enjoy. Next second, what happens? The raja gobbles up the praja and we suffer. We are finished. So this way the Shastra is full of amazing incidents about the demoniac qualities. There was once this crocodile, another crocodile story. Mr. Crocodile, this time I'll call him Mr. Crocodile. Mr. Crocodile somehow in his wonderful sojourn of traveling around the waters, the backwaters, ends up seeing this monkey in an island. In a small little island, there is this monkey, big black monkey, who was very happy-go-lucky, having a wonderful time jumping up and down trees, plucking coconuts or mangoes, and, you know, having a very carefree life, away from the vagaries and the society of, you know, the modern world. So somehow this crocodile and this monkey became friends. Have you heard of this before? A crocodile and a monkey becoming a friend? But they became friends. Then this monkey was a funny monkey. He would tell a lot of amazing stories and amazing jokes, and the crocodile would laugh heartily, right? And you'd have a wonderful time. And then later on, he would go back home and Mrs. Crocodile would be waiting for him. And then Mrs. Crocodile begins to wonder, why is Mr. Crocodile happy all the time? Now, Mrs. Crocodile is a very interesting character because she depends on Mr. Crocodile most of the time to bring, you know, food. And then she has this dynamic relationship with Mr. Crocodile. So one day, Mrs. Crocodile decided, you have to tell me, why are you always coming and sometimes you're laughing and sometimes you're happy? What happened? No, nothing happened. Don't worry. Just some usual stuff. Then Mrs. Crocodile got angry. Look, you're my husband and I know you're doing something out there and you're not telling me. Go away. I don't want to speak to you. Does that sound familiar in your day-to-day life as well? You're hiding something from me. I don't want to talk to you. Go away. You don't love me. Mrs. Crocodile says, you don't love me enough. So this way, Mr. Crocodile gets harassed by his wife, Mrs. Crocodile. And he says, okay, I'll give up, I'll tell you. I have made friendship with this monkey. What? You've made friendship with a monkey? What kind of monkey is it? Is it a big, dark, black monkey? And Crocodile said, yes, it's a big, black, dark monkey. He's quite large. And he's very good friends with me now. And then what happens? Mrs. Crocodile starts imagining. There's a nice little cook pot and the monkey is inside that cook pot. And then she's imagining eating this delicious monkey, especially the heart of a monkey, which is extremely very tasty for crocodiles, the heart of a monkey. And so she was thinking all those thoughts. And then she says, is that monkey close by, not too far away? Mr. Crocodile said, yes. Can you do me a favor? What is that? I want to eat that heart of that monkey. And Mr. Crocodile said, are you crazy? This monkey is my friend. What are you telling me? What are you talking about? I can't bring him here and have him killed. You don't love me again. You don't love me anymore. I'm your wife. I'm dependent on you. And you're not taking care of me. So this way, the crocodile, Mr. Crocodile, had to hear again and again and again and again and again from Mrs. Crocodile. Finally, he gave up. Okay, I'll go and bring Mrs. Crocodile. I'll go and bring the monkey to you, Mrs. Crocodile. Do as you want. And so this time, Mr. Crocodile is going back to the monkey. And he's thinking, oh no, what a ridiculous situation. What am I going to do? I like my wife. She's my wife after all, but he's my friend. I have to listen to my wife, otherwise I can't get back home tonight. I'm finished. So what do I do? Well, I know he's my friend, but I better just deliver him to my wife. Better, I live to see the next day, even though the monkey doesn't live to see the next day. So this way he goes back in a remorseful manner, he goes to Mr. Monkey. And he says, my dear friend, how are you? Monkey's very happy to see Mr. Crocodile. He says, I'm good, thank you. But you don't look so well today. What has happened? You look a bit sad. Oh no, it's a long story. But yes, I have come to invite you home. The monkeys, oh, why should I come home with you? I'm in this beautiful island, I'm happy. Oh no. My wife, Mrs. Crocodile, has invited you specially. Now the monkey got suspicious. Why did Mrs. Crocodile invite me? All these days she never talks about me and suddenly she invites me? Mr. Crocodile said, oh no, it's not like that. It's just that whenever I go home, I narrate all our pastimes. I narrate all the funny jokes you tell me. And Mrs. Crocodile is so impressed that she wants you to come home so that she can offer you some sweets and treat you as our revered guest. Monkey thought, oh, something is fishy, but Crocodile is my friend. Maybe he will protect me. So he jumps on the back of Mr. Crocodile. And Mr. Crocodile starts moving around on the water. Then what happens? Mr. Crocodile and Mr. Monkey are talking. Monkey still wants to get to the bottom of this. One after the other, he speaks to Mr. Crocodile and convinces to tell him what is actually happening. Then Mr. Crocodile says, "Oh, I'm sorry, but my wife, she's like Surapanaka, right? And she's so dangerous, and she wants to eat your heart. If I don't get back home tonight, it's either you or me. So my dear friend, better you die than me, because I'd like to live to see another day." Then the monkey thought, "Oh my God, this is the situation. This is the situation." And therefore, what does he do? He thinks, "Well, I'm an intelligent creature. I think I have more brains than this crocodile. Let me trick him somehow." And he says, "Oh my dear crocodile, don't you know I'm a monkey? I jump up and down trees every day. Because of that, my heart gets very loose. And so I've left it on the tree. I've left it on the tree. So unfortunately, your wife will not be able to eat my heart today." And the crocodile was so gullible that he believed it. And he said, "Okay, all right, let's go back and take your heart. And then we'll give it to my wife." So this way, the monkey tricks the crocodile, comes back and land, jumps over, runs up, climbs the tree, and he says, "My dear crocodile, from now on I've realized that a monkey and a crocodile can never be friends. We can never be friends. Your nature is like that. It's very demoniac. Whereas I'm a very carefree, simple personality. We can never be friends. Therefore, Hare Krishna." So the crocodile goes back to Mrs. Crocodile and he says, "I'm sorry. This is what happened." Mrs. Crocodile got so angry that he had to run away and then join ISKCON. That's what happened to Mr. Crocodile. He ran away and joined the Hare Krishna movement. Anyway, so this is how the energy works. I mean, one can think, this is strange. Where does the story come from? How can a monkey talk tattva like this? How is it even possible? But it is possible. This is a pastime from the Panchatantra. You've heard of Hitopadesha, Panchatantra. So there are pastimes like that that give you how to live life according to dharmic principles. The Panchatantra is very amazing that way. It was narrated by a very amazing Brahmana called Vishnu Sharma many, many thousands of years ago. Vishnu Sharma. There was this king. And this king had a son who was very dim-witted. He was very dull. And he was meant to be the future king. But when this prince was born, there was a proclamation by the Vedic astrologers that this son of yours will become a very big emperor. So the king was happy. But as days went by, they realized this king has no brains. This prince has no brains. He's so dim-witted. His posture is always, you know, bent. He's not able to do anything properly. He's lazy. What to do? What to do? And so the king was wondering, how can it be possible that a dim-witted son of mine will become the emperor one day? So he sent him to Gurukul, and in the Gurukul they were trying to teach him mantras and this and that, but he couldn't pick it up properly. The king comes to the acharya and he says, "What is wrong? I'm a king, I'm well-versed in Vedic knowledge, but my son is a dullard, he's a dimwit. How can it be possible? He should be a king like me, he should be a kshatriya like me." Then the acharya said, "It doesn't work like that. You may be a king, but your progeny may not necessarily take on the same qualities as you. Kashyapa Muni was a big Maharishi. He was a saintly person, but his son Hiranyakashipu was a demon. But at the same time, Hiranyakashipu was a demon and his son was an amazing devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. So it doesn't work like that, my dear king. Look at history. This is what has happened. Somehow, your son has become a dimwit. But the astrological proclamation says he will be a big emperor." "Well, he will become a big emperor. I don't know how." So the king made a proclamation. "Whoever comes and makes my son an intelligent person, I will give him half my kingdom. But if they're not able to do that, I will chop their head off." So this way, people got scared. And finally, Vishnu Sharma, the Brahmana, came. "I will take care of your son, my dear king, and I will make him intelligent. So this way, Vishnu Sharma takes this prince to the Gurukul. He has 6 months to deliver, otherwise he will lose his head. So 1 month later, the king comes and looks at the prince to see what's happening. He's still a dimwit, he's still dull. He says, "My dear boy, are you chanting Vedic mantras? Are you learning logic, nyaya? Are you becoming a kshatriya? Are you learning how to fight so that you can become a big king?" The little man says, "No, all I hear are stories from Vishnu Sharma. Stories. That's all. What kind of stories? Oh, he tells me nice stories about this big black bird that picked up the necklace of the queen and dropped it under a tree near the house of a serpent. So like that he tells me stories. That's all." Then he goes to Vishnu Sharma, this king, says, "What nonsense. I sent him here to learn, for him to become intelligent." But Vishnu Sharma said, "You don't worry. I have 5 more months. You will get an intelligent king who will become the emperor by then." So this way, Vishnu Sharma narrated all these amazing pastimes. This is a true story, Vishnu Sharma. He narrated these stories. They are known as the Panchatantra. So the Panchatantra are not true stories, they are analogies to explain a particular level of knowledge. And this way, when this young prince heard these stories, he imbibed the messages. And a few days later, the king comes to see him, and he's seeing that his boy is sitting in a very gambhira position, very nice position, right? And he's in a very meditative mood. So this way, one day, the king wanted to test his son, right? And he just disguised him as an old man, and he looked exactly like the king's dead father. He put him on the throne, and then some citizens came and they had some property dispute, and in 3 minutes this old man solved it, as fast as that. And all the citizens are wondering, where did the king's father come from? He was dead, he's already dead, how did he come back? And then he removed his beard and his, you know, wig, etc., his disguise. And then people saw, wow, this is the prince, indeed. So this way, these pastimes, the Panchatantra, they can alleviate one from ignorance and give you information and knowledge so that one can become a better person. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that the Panchatantra is the summum bonum of Vedic literature. It can help you to certain levels, but we take authority of personalities like Vyasadeva and accept Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite, the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is emanated from personalities like Sukadeva Goswami. Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Sukamukhad Amrita Drava Samyutam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to be drunk, right? It is like likened to a ripened fruit which neither has any outer skin nor any seed inside. It is just mellow fruitfulness, especially when it emanates from the lotus lips of Sukadeva. Sukha mukhad amrita drava. Drava, the nectarian, coagulated nectar, which is so sweet, amrita drava, that you accept and then you drink, then we progress in Krishna consciousness. So this is how it works. So as in a position of authority, one must be very, very careful. One must be extremely careful. So we cannot manipulate the material energy in such a way that we get crocodile-like mentality. Otherwise, this is known as asurik pravritti. And the reactions are quite immense for personalities like that. It is very immense. You're taking up all the sinful activities of the praja if you're a raja. And if you're not administering everything properly. Prabhupada said, this is the biggest problem. The problem is not that things are available or not available. Everything is in plenty. There is so many material benefits available. Krishna has provided for every living entity. There is so much available. The problem is management. We are not able to manage it properly. The rulers of the state are not managing it properly. Therefore, there is divisiveness. If you look in Africa, people are starving. Whereas in some parts of the world, they're throwing away tons and tons of grain because they've stored it and it's all getting spoiled. So this is very improper management. So we have to be very careful about that. So this way, I said, Krishna provides for every living entity, and one may wonder, how is it possible? How is it even possible? Yes, Krishna provides. Krishna says, Aham Bija Prajapitaha. I am the seed-giving father of all. And Krishna says, everything, Maya Adhyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sa Characharam. Everything is under my control, so naturally, Krishna provides for every living entity. So I was traveling in a bus in Vrindavan. We were going to Kamyavan with a busload of about 30 or 40 students. And we were discussing Krishna Katha on the way. And these students, they spoke to me and they said, Prabhu, we want to engage our proclivities in Krishna consciousness, engage our senses in Krishna consciousness. But we don't know. We always have this botheration from our parents. First, you have to provide for yourself and your family. So we have this decision to make. We seem to have some important tasks, right? There are some dependencies that are involved here. How do we circumvent this? How do we even understand that Krishna is providing? Because sometimes we feel that we have to work hard to provide to our family, which means invariably we are not so convinced that we have to take the shelter of Krishna because he's providing everything for us. We are still not convinced that Krishna is the provider. So this was a very important question they asked me. And then I remember the pastime in Vishnu Puran where Satyabhama comes and she's Krishna's supreme wife, of course. Shri Rukmini Satyabhama Bhyam Sahitam Krishna Mashraye. When we take the shelter of Krishna, we don't take the shelter of Krishna alone. We take also the shelter of Krishna's associates. Rukmini Satyabhama Sahitam Krishna Mashraye. So Satyabhama is Krishna's wife. So in one of the palaces in Dwaraka where they reside, Krishna is always working very hard. Krishna says, I'm always working hard to take care of all the living entities. Not just in this material world, but there are innumerable material universes and it is teeming with living entities and I'm providing for all of them. So Satyabhama is thinking, is this a joke? How can he provide for every living entity? I mean, Satyabhama's relationship is that he's my husband, not that he's God in awe and reverence. He's my husband. What is he saying? Is it some kind of a joke that he's providing for all living entities? Not possible. Just not possible. And Krishna says, yes, that is what I do. Then Satyabhama decides to test Krishna. So what does she do? She says, that day, as soon as Krishna leaves, she quickly runs near her wardrobe. She has this nice little box, right? And this box is usually used to place tilak in there. So she opens that box, she takes an ant, she places that ant inside the box and she shuts it. And then she places it on the side. And then she thinks, now this ant is locked inside that box. He's going to starve because there's no food. Let's see how Krishna provides for this ant. So this way she was anticipating, she was waiting for Krishna to come. And that day, Krishna came even more late than his usual time to return back. Then as soon as he came, Satyabhama was thinking, so, how was your day? Krishna, he's all-knowing. He's all-knowing, right? Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishtaha matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha. What is Krishna? He is present in every living entity's heart. He knows every desire of the living entity. He is the source of what? Knowledge, right? Jnanam, he is the source of knowledge. What else? Remembrance and forgetfulness. Krishna is the source of remembrance and forgetfulness. So he understands everything. And then, so my dear Satyabhama, how was your day? Krishna says, my day was wonderful, my dear Lord. But please tell me, how was your day? Have you been able to feed every living entity in this material world? Krishna says, yes, my dear Satyabhama. I fed every living entity, not only on this material world, but every material world, every universe. I have also fed that ant you have locked in that box, my dear Satyabhama. Satyabhama zapped. My dog, how did he know? How did he know? My dear Lord, how did you know? My dear Satyabhama, I'm your husband, but I am the controller of all universes. Every living entity I am, there is in this material universe, I am present within them. Anoraniyam mahato mahiyam. I am smaller than the smallest and I am present within the living entity as the super soul. I am present within you, I am present within that ant. But my dear Lord, how did you provide for that ant? Very simple, Satyabhama. You are a Kshatriya. You have a tendency to take some akshata, rice particles, and apply that every morning after you pay obeisances to me. So when you open that box, I made sure some of those rice grains fell inside that box. When you closed that, there was enough rice in there for the next 3 days for that box, for that ant. Therefore, I provide for every living entity in this and multitudinous material universes. So at no point of time as devotees should we think, how am I going to support myself? How am I going to, you know, sustain myself? Krishna is the provider, full stop. Krishna is the provider. What doubts do we have? How can we doubt that? There is no doubt whatsoever. Srila Prabhupada has been so kind that he has imparted this information to us. Krishna is the supreme provider. We simply must take shelter of the Supreme Lord and simply follow the yoga dharma for this age by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'll conclude here. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. If you have any questions or any suggestions or any corrections, please, by all means, feel free to talk. No questions? Thank you. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki, Nitai Gaura Premanande Hari Hari Bo. What's that? Oh, yes, yes. I'm looking for that. Sorry, it's 46. 46.